Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stogies and Beer. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. And we're broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESC, that's WBEST. And Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast his or her bold opinions on anything sports-related. We talk about a lot of NFL. This is an NFL talk show. We talk a lot about NBA, MLB, and any other sport that you want to call in and talk about. Definitely NHL, tennis, golf, boxing, UFC, wrestling, whatever you want to call in. Talk about dog racing, horse racing. It don't matter. Whatever sport, we'll talk about it. You can call in and boast your bold opinions about your sport, and we'll conversate with you about that. If we don't know about the sport, I always say you can teach us about your sport. If you don't know about the sport we're talking about, you can listen and we can teach you about our sport. All right, with that being said, let's get off into it. Today's show topic is going to be titled Minor League Football Foul-Ups Part 2. You know, last week we did Minor League Football Foul-Ups Part 1. Today we're going to be doing Minor League Football Foul-Ups Part 2. I have today as well as my in-studio guest on air, my man Mark Munson. He's on the air with me. I got two things going on at one time. I'm testing out my live video podcast, and I'm also doing my normal radio show through my laptop. So bear with any technical difficulties that may occur. I have the opportunity to start doing this stuff live, so I'm trying to make sure that I'm recording on my phone, and I can be heard, and I'm also being heard on air. So we'll see how this goes at the end. But anyway, real quick before I get to Mark, and Mark, I see you standing by AQ. If you could, while I'm reading about my topic for today, along with your interview, if you could log into the radio show. I think I sent you the link to the radio show. I want you to log into the radio show so we can get your interview recorded on air, not just on the Zoom call, because we're only going to do 30 minutes on the Zoom call, and then we're going to be totally on air. So if you could log into the show, the telephone number is going to be for guest call-in. It's going to be 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. Mark, call that line, and I should see you. Once I see you pop up on the call line, I'm gonna plug you in, and we're going to start your interview. But in the meantime and in between time, minor league football foul-ups is our topic today for those of you just tuning in. And we will be discussing breaking news regarding XFL draft pool invitations may be bogus versus players reporting they have been invited to the draft pool and were not. Players are reportedly having access to create their own draft invites due to a shared link from a real invite, which is allowing other players to add their names in the draft pool. This data breach has forced the XFL to research this issue and match official invites with the breach invitations to correct the list before the XFL draft. This seems like it's the XFL operations and security breach and unworthy players trying to get an unfair advantage to get on the list of draft eligible players to get selected to come to XFL camp. We will discuss and get to the bottom of the matter this morning. All right, so basically, minor league football foul-ups, we're going to be interviewing my man from the XFL podcast, and what he's going to be doing is talking to us about a situation that happened over the weekend where players are basically creating their own XFL draft pool, their own XFL draft pool invites and everything like that. So what we want to do is basically make sure that everybody that's posting on social media that they're getting the draft pool invitation and everything like that, we want to make sure that they are getting a draft pool invitation officially by the XFL, not just saying, "Hey, I'm in the XFL draft pool." We don't want bogus news from players, and we definitely don't want bogus news from the XFL due to a technical security or operations breach. So my source is going to be coming on the line today to definitely discuss all these issues and everything like that. I'm going to be starting my interview once Mark Munson calls in to the show. I'm going to be starting my interview. He just needs to call in to the show so we can get that going and get his interview done this morning. He was on the line, but I don't know what happened, but we'll get him back on the line as soon as he calls back in. So anyway, what we're going to do is what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna have him just call into the show line. So we'll get that all going and everything like that, and all that good stuff. And so I'm just bear with me. I'm trying to get this interview set up and everything like that. So we'll get it all going. I'm just trying to figure out if I'm. The only thing about all this, I'm just trying to make sure that I'm broadcasting on air and I can be heard on air. So let me call him and see if he'll call into the show and see what we can do and go from there. But I might have to turn off my video because if I can't do my video, then I'm not gonna let the regular show suffer trying to do this podcast stuff. It's just I'm gonna have to probably figure out a way to just get a camera and record this stuff because. This is getting on my nerves already. So, anyway, with that being said, we'll find out if I can get him in the queue and everything. If I can't get him in the queue, then I won't. I'm just not gonna do my Zoom call. I'm gonna just have to wind up doing my show because I don't need any snafus with that. So I'm just trying to wait to see if he can call in. And if he can call in, we're good. If he can't call in, then I'm gonna have to leave away from my podcast and everything like that, so I can do the radio show. So it's a pain trying to learn how to do all this stuff and trying to figure out if both of my mic sources are working. So I can't tell if anything's going on and anything like that until I do that. But what I think I'm going to do today is I'm just going to go ahead and do what I got to do and just do my radio show. But so I'm going to see if I can, just do it like that, just do my radio show. But, we'll get it all going. Let's end the meeting for all. I'm going to end my Zoom meeting. I'm not going to do my Zoom meeting today. So we're going to end that. And then we'll go back into some music until I can figure all this stuff out. We'll go back into some music and go back to my radio show. Sorry about that, people. I'm testing out some stuff, but we're going to get off into a little bit of music till I get my man Mark Musson back on the phone so we can start our quarterback. I am your host, Ramiro Foran, a.k.a. The Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning. Okay, hopefully we got our audio stuff set up. I got my man at 3041, I believe that's Mark Munson, 3041. Mark, I'm going to come to you at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let me know if you can hear me.
Morning, I got Mark. You. I can hear you. Good morning.
Right.
Good morning.
Sorry about that. I think, man, when I was telling everybody, I'm testing my a new concept, trying to do a podcast. And everything like that with this on-air blog talk system and then on my phone. But I guess if you're running your mic on two different platforms, it's going to mute one of them out. So anyway, with that being said, sorry about the technical difficulties there. We're still in the test phase of the video stuff, but I'm going to just stick to what I know so we can get everything done with this broadcasting on radio. So, Mark, I thank you for joining the show. It's been a minute. Excuse me.
No problem.
It's been a minute since we talked, man. I think we met back in 2015.
Yeah. Way back, man.
Like 2015, man, when you were still in college, getting ready to go to the I was trying to get you to sign up for the the FBS Bowl or the Spirit of America Bowl, one of them.
Yeah, I remember when I was coming out, my senior year. Yeah, I remember you were helping a lot of guys out.
Yeah, man. Can you hear me okay, though?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you, too. Yeah, I want to make sure we had our audio good, but for all the listeners and when people play it back. But, pretty much, man, what I wanted to do is bring you on for our Street Free Agent Athlete Spotlight for the day and just basically just wanted to talk to you a little bit about wanted you to tell the audience a story, basically. Because what I try to do is try to help a lot of college kids that's going to be graduating this year. You know, they graduating from college. You know, everybody thinks that they go into the NFL. That's the thought in everybody's head. You know, they go into the NFL, and that's natural because we always want to think that we at a certain level that we may or may not be when you try to take the opportunity. So what I wanted to want athletes to do is come on here and share their story from pretty much college going into I say high school, going into college, then college going into being a professional. Just so these high school kids going to college, college athletes going pro, and kind of understand some of the stuff that they're going to run into and how to better deal with it and everything like that. So it is 8:17 West Coast time, so I think we're supposed to start at 15 after the hour, so we're pretty much on time. So, Mark, go ahead and introduce yourself, and then, like I said, just kind of like tell us your story coming out of high school. Why weren't you going to an SEC school, you know, and you wind up going to Angelo State, which is a D2, if I'm correct. And then from that point, what was your obstacles from graduating Angelo State and trying to go into the NFL? So go ahead. I'm going to let you go ahead and tell the people your story.
Okay. My name is Mark Munson. And, pretty much, man, coming up in high school, basically just not having a lot of, I guess I could say, people that came before me to show me to lead the way. I didn't have a lot of guys to come in and go to those schools before me. So I was kind of going through the recruiting phase as with no mentorship and no leadership. And it kind of led me to, make some decisions in high school, just not being, not leading, not thinking, And I think now kids are in a better position now with social media, because now they're able to see, especially with the NIL deals now that they're able to, secure in high school, they're able to make money now in college. So when I came out, it was just, I kind of overlooked college because I knew I was already, when I came out my junior year, I was, getting a lot of interest. I kind of, overlooked college because a lot of people was already whispering in your ear telling you you're good enough to play, you're good enough to play in the NFL or whatever because, you're receiving college offers, as a junior or whatever. So, I kind of overlooked college. I already, started to see the light early. So, kind of got a little big-headed, got in some trouble. And, I wound up going to junior college because, I got in trouble a little bit. And, just had all the talent in the world, just didn't really take it serious. And until it was, it kind of got too late. I got to a point where I was – I got to a point where I was highly touted again. I was in junior college. I had All-American season out in California. Due to me taking my time and not stepping on the gas like I should have, I only had 1 year left of eligibility. I remember finishing the season, in junior college. I won team MVP, offensive MVP. So, the best player on offense, you would assume you get the best offers, right? So, I see guys, you know, going to UCLA for my JUCO and, you know, USC coming in. So I'm just like, you know, I know I'm going to go somewhere, but, you know, it just didn't work out that way. They weren't looking to give a guy one year offer. So I ended up just going to, you know, a Division II school. And Angelo State was home for me. I found a home there. We played some good football. My junior season, we led the nation in offensive yards, yards from scrimmage. We had All-American quarterback Kyle Washington, who, you know, set all the records in LSC. So I played some good football there. Was part of, you know, a coaching change from my junior and senior year. So, well, the coordinator changed. So I played for four different coordinators in 4 years. So college was, you know, just kind of cluster for me. But, you know, I got through it. And, you know, if anything, I would just tell kids or, you know, coming out of high school to just take it more serious because it's, you know, it's right there in front of you, you know, especially nowadays because you can make money in college. And, you know, as far as the NFL coming out of college, you know, it's such a numbers game, you know, when you come out, there's only so many numbers. So once you get overlooked, it's like you're just waiting for your shot, you know, and you're just going to stay in shape and find a way to play. If you love the game, you're going to find a way to play. And that's just kind of what I've been doing, kind of what my path has been, sharpening my tool. You know, my dad has always told me to, you know, sharpen my tool as much as I can, you know. So no matter where, you know, if I get a shot or if I don't, I'm going to grind, like, you know, because I can control what I can control. And that's just me being the best man that I can be. And if I control that, then I would be the best football player I can be. So, that's my story. Let me ask you this here.
Now, coming out of high school, what colleges were sending you offers? Was it like FCS type schools, FBS type schools? What kind of offers were you getting?
Well, when I was in college, when I was in high school, I had all the Big 12, like Baylor. I had Oklahoma State, and then I broke my leg. And then once I broke my leg and I got in a little trouble, then they started pulling those offers from me.
Okay.
That's when I ended up going to junior college. So I figured that was a better route than, you know, just going and, you know,
What was your you went to junior college out here and looked like you said Orange Coast. I'm looking at your resume, Orange Coast College, but as a JUCO. But the thing about it, I want to ask you, it's kind of different when you're dealing with the NJ, National Junior College Athletic Association, versus the California Community College Athletic Association. For JUCO, because the National JUCO, they offer scholarship and housing and all that. California works a little bit different. It's almost like it's a class, and you just got to make your way to get on the field. So, talk about that experience.
I feel like it's extremely humbling, but it makes you as a man, in my opinion, because you don't, like you said, man, you don't have those dorms. You don't have that cushion, that luxury of being able to get up and, you know, walk right outside and be, you know, at your cafeteria, you know, have that lunch or whatever. So, I had an apartment where it was, I believe it was six of us, and we stayed in a two-bedroom, and, you know, it was just kind of one of those things where you just kind of made it happen. We split the rent up six ways, and, you know. Yeah, the way it worked out, shoot, we were all on financial aid, and you know, so we just kind of like, you know, roughed it until we got our financial aid checks, and then it was kind of gravy after that. You know, and we're only there for 4 months. You know, school's only you're there for the fall semester and then spring semester. So I mean, we made it happen, but it was tough. But yeah, it's definitely different.
I kinda like this story. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. It's definitely different from like junior colleges that come with, you know, scholarships, and because it makes you want it more, because there are so many more guys. Like, first of all, you got the local guys, you know, that you know, they're gonna feel like off the rip that you know, I'm from here, so you know, I'm gonna get the nod, and so I'm coming from out of. I gotta work harder because I'm coming from out of town, and I'm living here. I already gotta get my rent paid, and I'm staying in this. I'm staying in this apartment with six guys, so it just makes me work harder. And I feel like I wouldn't, you know, have taken it any other way. You know, I mean, of course, I would have rather gone to that, you know, that cushion route, gone to the, you know, the SEC school or Big 12 school, but I feel like the route that I went kind of gave me a little more grit.
And if I can interject, I was going to say that I like your story, and I like that story that you shared, like others, because that went that route, because you had to come out here basically and just do it and start working. So, and I think that might have prepared you for, let's say, as we're going off into your pro career. After you left Angelo State, going off in your pro career, it's like you had to. If they tell you, "Hey, we're gonna give you an Arena League contract with the Jacksonville Sharks, Arizona Rattlers, or whatever, we're gonna give you a contract," then you thinking like, "Well, are y'all gonna fly me out there? Are y'all gonna do this?" But because you had went that rough JUCO route, and then you had already kind of like knew, okay, it ain't gonna be nothing if I gotta pay my fly out there, drive out there, whatever, to get to the facility, get in camp,
yeah,
earn my roster spot.
Yeah.
I'm already prepared because I know how to go out there and get a job. I know how to go out there because, you know, they tell a guy, well, you're going to make $200 a game as a pro. You thinking like, damn, that's all y'all pay? But the reality is that's the way it is in the pro developmental football. To keep the budget stable, these teams ain't going to pay you no whole lot of money. Now, however, they will house you, feed you, make sure that you got workers' comp if you get hurt and all that good stuff, and make sure you get some film to keep your career moving as you keep finding ways to play. Now, but the thing about it is you was already prepared for obstacles, and that's what I like. But to speak to that point.
I feel like it's just once I hit that, you know, that obstacle in my life, you know, where I didn't get drafted or I didn't get any, you know, receive any interest, it just kind of brought me back to that, you know, that kind of grind mode where, you know, I got to get it by any means, you know, I got to eat. So I'm not going to sit here, you know, because I know one thing, I know that there's no way for you to get back outside. There's no way for you to get back to where you want to be from not playing. So I knew I had to play somewhere. And I knew the first call I got was, you know, from Jeff Jarnigan in Arizona. He called me while I was at work, and he asked me if I still wanted to play ball. And I told him, you know, hell yeah, I want to play ball. So, you know, I signed a contract that day, and shoot, I was, you know, I was in Arizona, and you know, within the, you know, the next 2 months. And so, that was my first pro experience, and it was humbling, but I needed it. I was around a lot of a lot of pros. I was around Rob Windsor, who, you know, he just won the IFL championship as a assistant coach. He was there. A lot of other players, Bubba Chapman, a lot of, you know, former guys that played in the NFL. We're in that camp. A lot of guys that are still there. A lot of guys that have gone on. So I was able to be around a lot of pros, a lot of former guys that played, and it just kind of taught me how to, you know, carry myself. Because in college, I never really fully bought in as far as, you know, workouts and as far as, you know, just giving my all and things, you know, being there, being present. You know, I never really missed meetings. I never really missed workouts. But as far as doing the extra stuff, that's what takes you to the next level. That's what separates the Devontae Adams, the best receivers in the game, the best, you know, guys at their position are the guys that put in extra work, the guys that you don't have to tell to, you know, to come in and catch extra balls or to do extra conditioning, you know, to watch extra film. Those guys, it's just ingrained in the way they work. And I had to learn that. I wasn't, you know, privy to that knowledge. And that's just something that you learn over time. And if some people never learn it. But I was lucky enough to be around good pros, and they taught me how to watch film. They taught me how to practice. They taught me how to eat. They taught me how to, you know, be on time, be there. Don't be there walking in, you know, when the meetings start. Be there already. You know, it's just little things about being a pro that I had to learn. And, you know, the Arizona Rattlers taught me that way. And it's just that I've kind of carried myself that way from being there. So that organization taught me a lot, and I'm thankful for my time there. And yeah, that was just my first stop as a pro. So,
did you get cut from camp, or did you make the roster?
Oh yeah, I was on the roster. I was okay. Here's how it went. I came in, they had two guys. They had Jamal Miles, who's still there, and they had Amos, who was there when they were in the AFL, and they brought in like seven guys to be their third receiver. And coming out of camp, I was the third guy, but I was out of shape, and they put me on injured reserve. And then they put in like four or five different guys, and they started rolling. And you know, they won that year in 2000. I think it was 18. It was 18. They won probably like 9-10 games in a row. And they just, you know, it was just hard to get on the field after they were winning. They were rolling like that. So, but, yeah, I was there the whole season practicing with them. But they taught me how to really be a pro. And, yeah, from my time can you hear me?
I want to tell you something. Yeah, I can hear you. But I was going to say, and the thing about it, man, people don't be realizing coming out of college, And the only thing that's left out there is like pro developmental film league football, which is like the CIFL, NAL, IFL, of course. So that's only available when you go there. When you first hear that you're going, you be thinking, oh man, that's low level. I'm bigger than that. I'm better than that. But when you actually get out there and start playing with these guys, like I'm hearing you mentioning these names, and well, I tell a lot of guys, man, Arizona came out Arena One. Arizona, Jacksonville, those are all Arena One champions. I'm talking about the one that was on TV, Arena One. And so, yeah. Arizona, if you get an opportunity to get with Arizona, I know you got a lot of professionalism from them. And then, you know, when you get out there, like you say, you know, you didn't start over some guys because some of them guys were like, they were some seasoned pro vets. Some had been in the NFL, and some had been at Arena One at a high level. Speak to that for us.
Exactly, man. And, like, you never know. You always have this expectation coming out, you know, when you go, say you sign a contract or you go somewhere, even in college, when you you go somewhere, you expect to be the big man, you expect to be the man. But when you go, there's going to be a hierarchy wherever you are, you know, and there's going to always be, you know, a big dog when you walk in. And when I walked in, that was big dogs. And you had to get in where you fit in. And, you know, it's not one of those things where it's intimidating. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, if you're a dog, then you don't fit in. But if you're intimidated, then you're not going to fit in, and you're not going to last. And so it's just one of those
right.
things.
So you moved on to Jacksonville. How did that happen? What was it? Why did you go back to Arizona? How did you wind up going to Jacksonville, and were you a part of that championship year?
They had a coach who played for Arizona, Cy Burley, and he had hit me up in camp and told me, you know, that he liked my film, and he was trying to get me before I went to Arizona. And, you know, he always kind of plays and kind of get come and get scouts because he knows Arizona is a good a good program. So he'll come and get guys that, you know, feather or that kind of get cut or kind of move on from there. So I just, you know, I reached out to him after the season because their season was long or what it was after. I was trying to get some more film, so I was just trying to play for them. And then I wasn't able to play with him in the 2018 season, so he called me 2019 and brought me out. And that roster, man, we were so stacked. We had Jarmon Fortson, who went to Florida State. We had Deron Neal, who went to University of Oklahoma. Who else do we have? Devin. He went to Tennessee State. So we were pretty loaded, man, at receiver, and that's why we stubbed our toe the first game, and we ran the table and blew everybody out through the whole season. We didn't lose again, and it was just like once the ball got rolling, that was a real fun season, man, to play out there in Jacksonville. You know, we right there on the beach. I mean, every time we went out there, we would beat people, man. It was so fun. I got to get in the mix. That was my first time actually getting on the field, too, as a pro. Had some success. You know, that's when I met our quarterback, Jonathan Bain, and he threw my first touchdown. And that's when I formed a relationship with him because he's from Texas. And, you know, we got close. And, you know, when we went on that championship run, you know, though I made bonds with those guys, you know, that, you know, I'll never be broken. Those guys, I always remember those guys, you know, still reach out to those guys to this day. Like I said, Bain was the reason why I was able to, you know, sign on in Frisco because he just, you know, I didn't even have to send my film or anything. He, you know, it was one of those things where he was like, you know, he vouches for you. The coach was like, hey, and it was Clint Dozell, one of the, you know, Arena One, you know, one of the most famous arena coaches or whatever.
Yeah, he's famous, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he vouches, you know, and, you know, I can call Clint to this day. You know, he vouches for me. That's my guy. So, you know, I played with him his first year in the IFL. I felt like we had, you know, a lot of success. You know, we had some ups and downs. You know, his first year, it was, you know, as a first year in the league, as far as it goes, you win 10, 11 games, I feel like you did pretty damn good. But, you know, the ownership decided to, you know, him and the ownership decided to part ways, and then they decided to go a different way with coaches. So, but I decided to come back and play again, just, you know, due to proximity, being at the crib. And, you know, like I said, man, I just been waiting, sharpening my tool, being ready, just staying ready, man, being ready for this next shot. And I'm excited that, you know, there are new leagues coming out, like the USFL. We had the Frisco Fighters. We actually had a former player, Kevontae Turpin, who played in USFL. He's signed with the Cowboys. So, you know, there's the hope.
Yeah, I saw
there,
that.
Man. Yeah, so, like, man, it's all around me, man. One of my former teammates just signed with the USFL. Charles Williams, he just signed. You know, shout him out. So, you know, the grind is there, man. You come in, you put your head down, and you work, you get your film. You know, the shot is there. You control what you can do. You control what you can control, man. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. You know, you just got to put your head down and hope that you get that shot. Back that film.
Coming out of real quick, because we got about 10 more minutes, and I'm gonna let you get up out of here. Coming out of Angelo State, that's when I met you and everything like that. And then, you know, had you go to the FBS Bowl and all that good stuff. And what was it as far as that experience? You finishing up all of that. Was any scouts during your D2 season at Angelo State and at the bowl game, was any scouts coming up to you saying, hey, we want to work you out or bring you into camp or whatever? Because, I mean, I don't think you was on the draft board. People don't really realize that to get on the draft board, it's certain people got to be writing about you. Like, for instance, the NFL front office, I had two cups of coffee with them, and they explained the system.
they use a third-party system like Pro Football Focus. They do all the stats, the data analytic stuff, do your write-up, and they send it over to people like National Scouting, Blesto Scouting, who's in charge of the bowl games, the big bowl games, and the draft board, the combines, and all that stuff. So you got those three entities working together. And if you're not affiliated with those three entities, you're not going to be draft eligible, meaning you're not going to have a draft ranking, number one, if your school didn't do a junior day, which is your pro day, your junior year, to give you a draft ranking saying, hey, you in the top 100 receivers nationwide. Moving on from that, if you didn't get a pro day or you couldn't attend another school's pro day that had actual NFL scouts there, you're not going to be on the draft board. So you was already set up to be a free agent signing going into camp. But was that opportunity available to you for to go into an NFL camp and make your way after you graduated college?
Yeah, I mean, the opportunity just never presented itself. We were supposed to have, you know, it was always one of those things, because by my junior year, we were supposed to have a pro day for our quarterback, who was an All-American, Kyle Washington. He was supposed to have a pro day at our school, and he was going to have his receivers, you know, come out there, and I was going to be able to perform as a junior, be able to run and do everything. But they ended up canceling it, and then he ended up performing at Texas A&M Commerce's pro day. So, like, that opportunity wasn't available. And then when it rolled around my senior year, Commerce wasn't letting anybody from my school come to their pro day. So I don't know. It just wasn't. It wasn't one of those. You know, it didn't present itself, and I can't be mad about it. But you know, I understand the process. You know what I'm saying? If you're not, just like you said, if you don't put yourself in those situations to be recruited, you can't be on those boards. So it's just the opportunity just never presented itself. I know I'm good enough. You know, I've been around plenty of guys that have played. You know, even just these past two or three years, I played guys that, you know, have come from CFL, NFL camps. You know, they always recycle and try to work DBs out, and, you know, they get crazy work from me. So, I know I can do it, you know, and I know it's just a matter of, You getting that shot. You getting right in front of the right eyes and somebody liking you. I know what it is. So it's just a business.
Now, right. And I want to ask you, for the high school kids that may be listening to this or going to go back and listen to the recording. I was talking to a guy the other day, and I told him, I said, man, you know, I'm trying to teach these high school kids, coming in the high school kids' parents. When a recruiter come to your house, you almost got to ask their recruiter whether it is, definitely if they're NAIA schools, NCAA Division II, Division III. Let's just say those three type of schools. They come to your house and they offer you an opportunity to play. You definitely have to ask the coach, what relationship do you have with the National Football League? Coaches, scouts, personnel, people, general managers, in any person, front office personnel, staff. They got to ask that question, because you can wind up going to a school that you'll just be playing football for 4 years or 2 years or whatever, and then that opportunity is not there. So now when you came out of JUCO and then Angelo State came knocking, did you have that conversation, or did you and your parents have that conversation with the recruiters saying, hey, is he going to have an NFL opportunity? Who do y'all know? Or did you just wind up saying, okay, I finally got my grades up to go to college, you know, because I'm assuming that's one reason why you didn't go to a D2 school right out of high school, because maybe you had a grade issue, if I'm thinking correctly on that. If not, correct me. But when you finally got your grades right, you was able to get a opportunity to play at D2 college. Did you ask them what is the possibilities of you getting me a pro opportunity? Go ahead and speak to that.
And I think I was a little naive to it, because a lot of the times you always hear, like, if you good, they'll find you. You know what I'm saying? You hear that,
yeah.
You hear that. But, you know, I urge kids nowadays, man, to think, you know, not necessarily be selfish, but always think about your situation. Especially now when coaches can leave, you know, they can get up and leave in a heartbeat. So you should always be mindful of your situation, you know, you know, don't be afraid to sit, you know, don't be afraid to grind, to go in there and earn a spot. But also understand when you, you know, when the deck is stacked up against you, and, you know, sometimes it's better to get a fresh start somewhere, you know, or, you know, also picking, you know, when you picking these schools, like you said, you know, getting that information. And, you know, because I had the opportunity when I came out of, when I came out of junior college, I wanted to go Division I, but I wasn't able to. And my college coach, my junior college coach came in there and he told me, you know, write down a list of, you know, five Division II schools that you want to go to. And he said, don't worry about it. I'll call them. I'll get you a free ride to whatever school you want to go to. And, you know, I was me being so demoralized about having to go to Division II, I just, you know, I went and picked, you know, one of the schools, the first schools that, you know, that were giving me interest, and that was Angelo State. They gave me interest way back when they were the first Division II school to talk to me. So I went back and grabbed my little folder and, you know, called them. And, you know, I was just rewarding their loyalty, you know, by going there. And, you know, I should have, you know, been more focused into the, you know, I don't regret going to Angelo State. You know, it was a great place. But like I said, there were better schools, you know, fit to put you into the league. You know what I'm saying? And I could have made a better decision, but I did go to Angelo State. You know, I urge the next guy to, you know, make the best decision for himself, make the best decision for his career. Put yourself in that position to, yeah, just like that. Put yourself in a position to, if you want to go to the NFL, put yourself in those lines, put yourself lined up in the slot to make it to the NFL.
And I guess you mean it like for a high school kid, have your grades already ready to go going into the NCAA clearinghouse and all that, your junior year, be at that 3.0, 3.4 level somewhere up in there. And you got to be 4.0, but somewhere in the 3-point-something range so you can go to college, have good test scores and all that good stuff on your ACT, SAT. Then moving on from that point, in the recruiting process, parents got to help the kids, and the kids got to help themselves by finding out, hey, is it an opportunity for me to play pro coming out of your college? Whether it be, again, mainly the question got to be asked for NCAA, D2, D3, and NAIA schools, all those three, because the opportunity for the go pro is usually not there. Then, but FCS, of course, you know, that's D1, you're going to get in, especially if you're a playoff school. You'll have the opportunity to be scouted. And then, of course, FBS school powerhouses like SEC, ACC, that you ain't got to ask that question because those schools are always scouted. That's basically the minor league for the NFL. College FBS is the minor league for the NFL. But real quick, man, before you get up out of here, I wanted to ask you to go ahead and tell everybody, man, on your journey to the XFL, because you're working with me on some stuff behind the scenes on getting you an XFL opportunity, and we, you know, we still waiting around on that. And, you know, with that last little bit of information that I sent you, get that back to me so we can get the ball rolling on that. But I'm looking forward to you getting an XFL shot, and if not that, definitely a USFL shot, you know, because the people that I'm working with, they deal with the USFL heavily. So I think you're going to have your opportunity to play next spring at that level with a TV partner, and then moving from that level, being like Turpin, getting you a contract signed with the Dallas Cowboys or something. But before you get out of here, man, tell everybody how they can find you on social media and stuff like that, in case they want to comment on this interview and somebody want to offer you an opportunity. Tell everybody how to find you.
Yeah, man, I'm on all the social medias, man. I'm on Twitter, BodyMarkedUp6, man, or Instagram, man. You follow me anywhere. I'm on Facebook, man. Everywhere, man. I'm trying to get a shot, man. So, yeah, I appreciate everything you do, man. I'm really anxious to get a shot, man, to get back outside and show what I can do, whether it be USFL, XFL, CFL. I don't care, man. I want to play football and show what I can do, man.
If any NFL scouts out there hear this and listen, what can you say about what kind of player they're going to be getting if they sign you?
Man, if you listening, man, you're going to get a pro. You're going to get somebody that's going to come in and do whatever it takes to make the team. whether it be if I got to go out and be a gunner, if I got to run down full speed and make a tackle, I've done it. You can look at my film. I can long snap. I don't care what it is. I've held. If I could kick, I'd kick. you're gonna get effort from me on top of skill, you know, because I have an expertise. I do play receiver, you know. I do have, you know, ginormous hands. I can catch whatever you throw to me, but you know, I will do whatever it takes to play football at the next level. So you know, I understand that's what it takes coming from the level that I'm coming from. You got to be able to do. You got to be a jack of all trades. You got to be able to tackle. You got to be able to, you know, run down. You got to be able to defend whatever. If I got to tackle, if I got to, you know, do kickoff return, if I got to block, whatever I got to do, I'll do it.
All right, man. Well, everybody that is tuning in to Stogies and Beer Radio Show, it is 8:50 a.m. Pacific Coast time, and we got my man, wide receiver, with the Frisco Fighters in the IFL, Mark Munson on the line, just sharing some knowledge for high school kids, college kids, and rookie street free agents that had just graduated this year looking for an opportunity and wondering why they're not in the NFL camp or CFL camp at this point. We want to thank Mark for coming on the show and sharing his knowledge. Mark, I'm going to let you get off this phone. Thank you for being a part of the show, man, and we'll definitely be in touch real soon.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. The I want to again welcome everybody that just tuning in to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, and Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to come in and boast his or her bold opinions about anything that's sports related. Our topic for today is minor league football foul loss part 2. We will be discussing breaking news regarding XFL draft, who invitations may be bogus versus players reporting they have been invited to the draft pool and were not. Players are reportedly having access to create their own draft invites due to a shared link from a real invite, which is allowing other players to add their names in the draft pool. This data breach has forced the XFL to research this issue and match official invites with breach invitations to correct the list before the XFL draft. This seems like it's a CFL operations. I'm sorry. This seems like it's a XFL operations and security breach, and unworthy players trying to get an unfair advantage to get on the list of draft eligible players to get selected to come to XFL camp. We will discuss and get to the bottom of this matter this morning. I got someone coming in on the show this morning that does a independent XFL podcast and everything like that. They're going to be coming on the show this morning. I'm going to pull up his credentials in a minute, and once he calls in, we're going to get to the bottom of what's actually going on with this XFL draft pool invitation process, because, you know, I'm one of the guys, I'm like, I don't want to be on here thinking that a guy congratulating guys that they got an invite, and then, you know, they created the invite themselves. You know, I don't understand the reasoning for it. A lot of people might have thought I was trying to be a devil's advocate when a couple weeks ago I had already informed a lot of these guys on social media, okay, it's great, good stuff, you got a draft pool invite. But me, myself, as an athlete manager, agent, independent sports agent, have worked with guys that under my management that have been invited to the XFL draft pool back in 2019 or 2020 when it had came back. And you know what being on the draft board means for the XFL? Doesn't mean anything if no one picks you. You can build. I have three guys on the draft board. One didn't get picked at all. Well, actually, none of them got picked off the draft board. Three were on the draft board. None got picked. Two went to camp. One didn't. When two went to camp, both got cut. When two went to camp, one made a practice squad. He didn't get cut. He made the practice squad, and they cut him later from the practice squad. And then you had one guy that got called back up after he had got cut and sent back home. They flew him back out to join the team on the 53-man active roster, and unfortunately, COVID-19 struck and knocked him out. Well, not only him, but everybody, but it knocks his opportunity out. But the point I'm making, go back to what I said. I had three players on the draft board. None of them got drafted. Two got invited to camp as free agents, and one of them didn't get invited to camp at all. All three of them were definitely capable. They were high-level athletes. But the bottom line is, having the XFL draft pool invite, it means nothing if a team doesn't pick you. So my thing is, why was guys even trying to take a link and figure out a way to basically create a draft pool invitation for themselves? And, you know, they got past the league, but, I mean, that's stupid, because why would you go through all of that? It's stupid in my opinion. Why would you go through all of that when it doesn't, a draft pool invitation holds no weight? It just means that, hey, I did a good workout, or I had someone that knows somebody that knows somebody that saw my tape and invited me to the draft pool. But guess what? There's so many people per position that's in front of you or right there with you. Hey, you know, where do you fit in that line? If they got 100 receivers to pick from, where do you fit in that line? Okay, all y'all on the board for the draft pool. But if nobody picks you out of that group of 100 wide receivers, I don't know how many people they're picking, but I'm assuming that they're going to probably at least have 75 to 100 people per position to pick from. An invite means nothing without you getting selected by a coach to come to camp for him. So keep that in mind. I mean, this whole thing with, you know, you guys figuring out a way to create fake information as a player, number one, that speaks to integrity. That speaks to you being a professional. You know, it's all about integrity, man. It's all about being a pro. Is that something that a guy in the NFL would do? You know, that's why sometimes I look at the National Football League and some of the stuff that be going on, and you just sitting back here like, that dude did that? He got life-changing money, a life-changing scenario in his life, and he did that? This is almost like really the equivalent of that. It's just like, you know, I'm looking at, you know, instead of you doing the right thing and just waiting to see if you do your workout or find somebody that knows how to get you a position to win, you're going to go and create a fake invitation to get on the XFL draft board. But once they actually do the research, because I'm quite sure they're looking at it like, okay, well, we only was going to send out X amount of invitations per position for to do this draft. So if we were only looking to send out 100 invitations at wide receiver, and then we look up and we got 50 of these invitations probably going to be fake. So we're going to have to go back up in here and narrow this down and then figure out that we didn't even invite this guy or this guy or this guy. And when they start looking at it like, okay, well, you ain't even got a contact on here to say this is the person that in their office, in their data, nobody even looked at you, nobody even selected you, and then you're on the board. They're probably going to ban you from joining their league, and I would too. You're going to have to try to get into the XFL, but if I was them, I'd send out a list to the XFL and say, don't even pick this player up because he ain't a good character. They created a fake draft pool invitation. Don't pick him up. I wouldn't want him. I wouldn't want him. I wouldn't want him in no level. I wouldn't want him in semi-pro because you don't have any integrity. There's something stupid, in my opinion, for a guy to do. All you have to do is reach out to people like myself. If you feel like you're not getting a fair look, reach out to people like myself who specialize in doing this type of stuff and whatnot, and see if you can get some help. Yeah, sometimes you got to invest a little bit of money with somebody to get you in a position to move up, to get you a look. That's just the game as a free agent. As a free agent, a street free agent, you got to pay for everything. You're not in college anymore, and you're not part of the NFL. The NFL and the CFL, those are situations that pay. CFL pay pretty decent, but as far as like a real check, a real life changing check, we talking about the NFL. And if you ain't, and if you in, if you're not in the NFL, that's the only league. The NFL is the only league that give you a life changing scenario. So my whole thing is, that's why those guys don't have to worry about paying anybody anything for any services, because they've already made it into the league. As a street free agent, trying to get into the IFL, the CIFL, the AAL, AFA, American West, National Arena League, Indoor Football League, all those pro-developmental leagues I just mentioned, you have to pay your way to certain people and pay your own way to get your film. And then take that film and try to get you a USFL, XFL opportunity, and you still got to pay your way through that system. When you get there, and you get that film, you could be like how my man wide receiver Mark Munson was just talking about a minute ago. You know, the young man named Turp, and I forgot what position he played, but he said he just signed a contract with the Dallas Cowboys, but yet he was in the IFL, moved on, played for the USFL, now you're playing for the Dallas Cowboys. So it can happen, but you got to pay your way. You got to pay your way because nothing is free as a street free agent. All right. Welcome to the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. For those of you just tuning in, Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast his or her opinion about anything sports related, dog racing, camel racing, horse racing, NASCAR, badminton, whatever sport you play, you can call in and boast your bold opinion about your sport. However, this is an NFL football talk show. We talk mainly football on this show. It's also an educational show where we bring in people to boast their book. We bring in people that might have that want to do a street agent athlete spotlight, like we did this morning with our wide receiver Mark Munson, because we also like to educate people on the journey that you have to take as a free agent in any sport. So that's why I bring guys on the show, some rookies, some vets that are in street free agency trying to make it to the highest level of their particular sport, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, or whatever the case may be. We also like to bring on people that got hip-hop music, R&B music, that may be a producer or an artist to come on and tell their story and at the same time feature their music or their beats on our show. So, and we also have a topic every day to educate free agents, you know, definitely high school kids getting ready to go to college kids that's getting ready to go pro and they're in their draft year. So today's topic was minor league football foulers part two. We're basically trying to get to the bottom of guys creating their own XFL draft pool invitations. So come on to try to get into the XFL draft pool coming up in 2023. I think they'll be going into camp sometime in December, late November, December, probably taking a break around the first part of January and then coming back to camp again and everything like that. So to get the season started, but we'll see. It's been a couple years since they was out last, and this is a whole new platform. So we'll see how it goes this year. But we're going to be bringing on, let me get my man credentials up here, that's supposed to be calling in at the 15-minute mark of the show. He's going to be coming in and everything like that. To be on the show and everything like that. And he's asking me, do I have a link to the show? I didn't share it with my father before. Yeah, I have a link. I thought I shared it there with him. But let me get my man a link. It's going to be Michael Lathrop. Michael Lathrop. I hope I'm saying that right, Michael, if you're listening. Michael Lathrop is going to be coming on. He's with Let's Talk XFL, and he has the XFL – his own XFL podcast that he's going to be doing this year. So he was gracious enough to come on the show and shed some light on this. He'll be on the show in the next 10 minutes. But, Michael, I'm going to be sharing a link with you here shortly so you can come on the show and everything like that. And let me share it with him so he can invite his listeners in and everything of that nature. So, yeah, we definitely are happy that he's going to be coming on to the show and everything. So we definitely want to get him on here and shed some light on this topic, because I think it's terrible that a guy feels like they're just going to come on here and just they're going to basically just create their own draft pool invitation and get into a big league like the XFL. I'm just like, that's crazy. You shouldn't do stuff like that, because that speaks to your integrity. But Michael, if you're listening, I'm sending out a blog talk podcast. It's titled Minor League Football Follies. Just click that link and it'll give you it'll give you the telephone line on that link. And I already sent you the telephone line to call in. But the link, you can share that link right there with everybody if they want to call in, you know, call in and listen and everything like that, and share it on your podcast. Definitely share it with your audience later, because it's going to be recorded. So I'll definitely send you a link if you need it to add to your podcast so they can hear this interview. But anyway, I'm looking for Michael Lathrop to come on to the show. I was also supposed to have a young man. He hit me up about a consultation. And this is what I want to tell everybody out there. When you hit me up and you say, I want a consultation. So I said, okay, call into my radio show tomorrow. And I'll do it at 9 o'clock. It's 9:06, so he's late for his appointment. So he's probably not going to get that interview, because I'm going to bring Michael Lathrop on here to talk some serious business about the XFL. But I gave this young man an opportunity to call into the show, and I was going to do his consultation live, because while I was going to be doing this live, you know, 10, 15-minute consultation, some of the questions that he was probably going to be asking me, it could have helped other people. So normally I would charge a small fee to do 15-minute consultations, but because I got this new platform on Blog Talk Radio, I can reach so many listeners. I can reach listeners and everything like that. I just wanted to basically bring him on and do his consultation live on air. And some of the questions that other people might have had, I maybe would have been able to answer for him and them at the same time using this platform. Time on deck is 9:06 a.m. Pacific time. This is Stogies and Beer broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, WBEST. And again, Stogies and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback. Later on in the show, after we get off our topic for today, which is minor league football foul-ups part two. And it's minor league football foul-ups part two, because last week we was doing minor league football foul-ups part one. And I'm going to speak to Michael Lathrop about this stuff. I'm going to speak to him about this stuff tomorrow. Today, when he gets on the line, after we get done talking about this XFL thing, I want to get his opinion about minor league football. Last week, minor league football, I done a show about minor league football, meaning the official company called Minor League Football that had been trying to crank up for multiple years. And they finally were supposed to crank up this time, but about 2.5 weeks ago, they left players, including two of my own, stranded in on the streets in Alabama. They didn't pay the hotel bill, didn't pay the players, and the players got kicked out of the hotel after they had done one scrimmage and got a $50 check. They got fined their own way home. That was terrible. So that's why I did minor league football foul-ups part one last week, and I'm doing minor league football foul-ups part two, where we'll be discussing breaking news regarding the XFL draft pool limitations may be bogus versus players reporting they have been invited to the draft pool and were not. We're trying to figure out, when Michael Lathrop comes on here from the XFL podcast, we're trying to figure out if it's the XFL security and operations that made a mistake, or is it the players breaching the system. But either way it goes, it's definitely going to be something that got to do with the XFL security and operations department, because, you know, that there was a breach of their system where a player can just come in and add his name fraudulently to the draft pool list. So we're going to be getting into that and everything like that. I'm going to take a quick, short 3 or 4 minute break to make sure Michael is all set up to call into the show and everything like that. And so let's go off into a little bit of music real quick, and then we're going to come back up right before Michael was supposed to come on at 15 after the hour. That's going to be 9:15 Pacific, 12:15 Eastern. So we'll be back here shortly to get him on time, let him share his knowledge with us, and then hopefully we have a couple people calling in, asking some questions and whatnot, and we'll go from there. But, all right, we're going to listen to some music by DJ Keith Cronin. This is called Rebuild Tag by Keith Cronin.
Hello and good morning. Welcome back to Stogies and Beer. Stogies and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST, that's WBEST. Our topic for today, for those of you just tuning in, is Minor League Football Foul-Ups Part 2. But we're going to be talking about XFL possible bogus draft pool invitations. Guys posting up, they got invited to the NFL draft, having people like myself hit them up on social media saying congratulations, and yet it's a fake invitation that they created themselves because they figured out a way to breach the operations and security, information security system of the XFL by a player with a, sounds like with a actual invitation that was legit, sharing it with somebody, and they was able to open up the link or whatever and start creating, several players starting to create their own invitation. So where it might, so where it's like the XFL might have said, we're only going to be bringing in X amount of people to the show. I'm sorry, X amount of people into the draft pool per position. You know, they might have an overflow of a certain position because of this breach. So I got my man, Michael Lathrop from the XFL podcast. He's been gracious enough to come on to the show. I'm just waiting on to see Michael's last four of his telephone number pop up. Once they pop up on the show, I'm going to bring him in so we can get to the bottom of this this mess in minor league football. So today's topic is Minor League Football Foul-Ups Part 2, and we're going to be having a special guest in the studio, Michael Lathrop. Just waiting on Michael to tune in. And once he tunes in, we're going to get down to business. So I'm gonna text him to call in now. Trying to get him to call in now if he can. And get him on here so he can go ahead on and tell us what's going on out there in the world of the XFL minor league football. And I just hate stuff like this happens because I think the spokesperson for the league, everybody know that's The Rock, and I don't think that The Rock would approve of guys doing stuff like this and everything like that. He has an actual good product, being an underdog himself. I think once he finds out about this, he's going to probably put something out. Professionalism and integrity and determination and grit, doing it the right way, not trying to cheat your way into a system. You don't have to cheat your way into a system. You should be able to walk into a front door and get an opportunity based on your talent and your determination. And if not, find another way. But definitely trying to do it by cheating, I don't agree with that. But again, for those of you just tuning in, you're tuning in to Stogies and Beer. And I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on Stogies and Beer Radio Show. And our topic for today is Minor League Football Foul-Ups Part 2. We'll be discussing breaking news regarding XFL draft pool invitations, maybe bogus versus players reporting they have been invited to the draft pool and were not. We got my man Michael Lathrop in queue right now. Michael, I'm about to come to you in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let me know if you can hear me. Good morning, Michael.
I can hear you. Good morning.
Hey, man. It's good morning. Great to have you in the show, on the show and everything out here. And, yeah, man, I got to tell everybody our topic for today is Minor League Football Foul-Ups Part 2. I'm going to let you go ahead on to speak to this here topic and everything that's going on with this XFL breach. So go ahead. Everybody, we got Michael Lathrop with the XFL podcast. Go ahead, Michael.
All right. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. Unfortunately, it's not an ideal circumstance to come onto a show to discuss about fraud in any way, but I will just start from how I learned of it. So late on Friday, August 12th, contacted by a legitimate and well-respected agency who notified me of shady agencies sending fraudulent XFL draft invitations to their clients. These agencies eventually copied a link sent to an XFL draft pool invitation from a deserving player. This link then began being shared among players and eventually got posted on multiple social media platforms. The agency who informed me requested to remain anonymous. But they did share with me multiple images, screenshots, of these breaches, proving the legitimacy of it. So once I had this information, I then went to Twitter and Instagram and Facebook to share the information, just to kind of put it out there so players were aware of the situation, not that they should question their own representation. They should question whether they're in the pool legitimately, because some players believe they have obtained the next step in achieving their dream, when the reality they may not have. So instead of wasting time and just ignoring the fact, I wanted them to know that they should get further confirmation that they were indeed included in the XFL draft pool. Once I went on social media to share the information, I then contacted the XFL directly. I have numerous contacts with the XFL that I reached out to. I did not receive confirmation until yesterday on Sunday in the afternoon. And I did receive a statement from Jeff Altstetter, the Vice President of Communications of the XFL. I can read that for you if you would like. All right, the statement says, the XFL is aware of a limited number of occurrences in which registration links included with personal draft pool invitation letters were forwarded to other players. As soon as the league was notified, we quickly determined where the shared link originated. Our football operations team is actively monitoring all registrations and confirming that all players who have accepted the opportunity to enter the XFL draft pool match our invitation list. So this essentially confirms what my source had told me, that in fact there was a breach. Now, they're not going to tell us what agencies, what players, obviously, but this just goes to show that every player that's reached out to me, and let me just say that my email and DMs have been blowing up all weekend long after I posted this on Friday. I've had players and agencies asking me what the situation is and how should they go about it. It can be a little scary, but my first thing for players, and I know if you don't trust your agency, you probably should reach out to your agency anyway if you have representation. One, have them assist you in contacting the league. If you do not have representation, I recommend going back to whatever invitation you received. There should be an XFL email on it. If it looks like it's not from the XFL, that should be your first indication that obviously you don't have a legitimate invitation. If you do have an XFL email, I would reach out to that XFL email. I know this is going to put a lot of pressure on the operations team at the XFL, but I would just send them an email to confirm your place in the XFL draft pool. I think it's that simple, and then you can just move on from it. Unfortunately, if you are one that is not, I think you have to then look at your representation and wonder why you're being represented by somebody that essentially committed fraud, not only for the league, but to you, the one that they're supposed to be looking out for.
Well, it sounds like to me, if I can interject, Michael, is that this must have been some kind of shady agency that basically might have a fee for service, whatever it may be, and then for that fee, they couldn't deliver what they claimed they could deliver, meaning an XFL invite. So what they did was figure out a way to create fraudulent invites to justify the money that they're charging, which is just sad. I mean, I've always been a guy in my company where I do management services. If I can do it, I'll do it. If I can't do it, I'll tell you I'm going to try to find a way to help a guy as best as I can, and we'll figure it out for a nominal fee. But for creating something like this, it's just making this league look bad because, I mean, this last week we did a show called Minor League Football Foul-Ups, and it was talking about the minor league football program. I'm quite sure you heard about that fiasco where they left all the guys on the street with no money, no way to get home, kicked out the hotel. And so when this came up about the XFL, I'm like, oh, God, here we go again. Let's do minor league football foul-ups part two. But go ahead and finish up, Michael.
I agree with your assessment. I do think it's somebody that could not deliver. And to try to keep – a place in the world, in the sports world as being a representative, an agent, they either did it out of ill intent or out of desperation. So I can't judge as to exactly why. I don't know who did it. The league may be able to figure out if the players are attached to representation. But in this case, I know the XFL did nothing wrong here. This was clearly a player that deserved the invitation. They copied the link that all they somebody had to do was click on to then get into the pool. So clearly the XFL is not necessarily in the same boat as the Major League Football situation. That clearly was on that league. That league took advantage of players and could not deliver what they were promising. In this situation, it is a follow-up, and maybe the league can do something better with having unique links instead of a generic link that they're perhaps using, or maybe they're resetting it only every so many days or something. But either way, the XFL didn't do anything wrong. They could potentially do something better, and I think this is an eye-opener for them, obviously, and they will. They're correcting this situation. They won't have these players included, unfortunately. It's going to ruin some people's dreams, and maybe the league might reach out to these players individually and maybe just offer them a tryout or something. I don't know anything, but it's doom and gloom until maybe there might be a silver lining someplace. Silver lining for me is that the league is aware of it, the correcting the situation, and hopefully we won't have more of this. You know, we do have a lot of time before November's draft, so hopefully the league can get it corrected and we won't hear of this situation popping up again.
I greatly appreciate that information. Before you get out of here and everything, is it possible you could speak to the situation of Major League Football? I talked about a lot of it last week, and I just said, you know, any time that you don't have three things already in place for a league, whether it's like the indoor football league, like we had the same problem with the National Gridiron League. I don't know if you're familiar with them. Now we got Major League Baseball. Not Major League Baseball, but Major League Football, and they're fouled up. You know, when you don't have your partnerships already set up, meaning that's like regional companies in your area where the team is going to be, if you don't have those partnerships for advertisement, if you don't have partnerships for television, meaning running your show on TV, if you don't have the doggone marketing budget already set, advertising budget already set, when you don't have those key components to do this stuff, and then when you're not able to sell tickets because you haven't secured arena space or whatever the case may be, anything missing of those three or four things that I just mentioned, you're going to have a failed system if you're missing any of that. So it looks like to me that the Major League Football, they was trying to sell ownership of each team, like 60% of ownership of teams or whatever the case may be, even before they broke for camp. And so that's already a red flag. Now, don't get me wrong, the XFL is doing the same thing, but who wouldn't buy from the spokesperson of the XFL, which is The Rock? The Rock is a brand. If you're a millionaire and you got money, yeah, you're going to want to spend money with The Rock. So, yeah, they're trying to get people to buy about 45% of shares in each team, because it's not great when a league is owned by one person. That's not a good thing, because if one person fails, then the whole league is going to fail. That's why you want to have multiple owners for each franchise. And now, flipping back, Major League Football was trying to do that before they even broke camp, and it's like, okay, y'all don't have a TV partner already in place, and on top of that, y'all still trying to sell these teams, and one man owns the team, which nobody knows who the heck he is. Nobody knows about this guy because he's not a brand like The Rock. So nobody's probably going to buy from you at that short period of time. Can you speak to that before you get up out of here?
I don't like to really take shots at people, but the reality is the reality, right? You can't ignore the fact that when you look at Major League Football, it had been years. And we're not talking like XFL years where the XFL was bought just before bankruptcy back in 2020 in August. And here we are in 2022, and we're going to kick off 2023. When you look at Major League Football, we're talking multiple upon multiple years in the works of failed attempts to deliver. And they even got to the point where they were selling stock. So the only way to fund this was on the backs of the fans that wanted to purchase stock. You started up penny stock, whatever you want to call it. Where they fall short is they didn't have the money. They never had the money. Their staff just kept flipping and flipping and flipping. They never had anybody. It was on the backs of the fans to fund this. And supposedly where they fell short is the money coming from that stock takes a while before it's a check is cut to the entity that sold it. They didn't have the funds before they started lining up the season. They should have never done anything until they actually had money in hand. They totally rolled with it, just assuming whatever $10 million, $12 million, whatever they had was going to be there, and clearly it didn't. And we saw the situation where all these players are being locked out of hotel rooms and couldn't even get into, you know, gather their personal items. They had no way to get home. You know, it was just a mess. I look at the XFL as slightly different or significantly different. It is owned by legitimate business people and not just fame. We got Danny, Dwayne, The Rock Johnson, Redbird Capital. And Redbird is an investment firm. They are involved in anything, all sorts of sports, whether it's the NHL, whether it's tied to baseball, whether it's tied to the English Premier League, soccer overseas. This is what these people do. They operate sports franchises. So to fear, and I'm not saying that's what you're alluding to, but anyone that is fearful of the XFL is in the same situation, I wouldn't look at it that way. I know that recently some news came out that the XFL is seeking some investors. They hired a firm to find more investors. I don't see that any differently than what we saw with the USFL. The USFL is in the works of seeking ownership for their individual teams. I think this is a long-term play. I don't think you can wait until the moment that you need that those investors. I think it takes time to find the right people that can own franchises. Any millionaire can buy anything, but are they the right person to operate a franchise, a team, and make sure it's successful? So I think what they're doing now is they're getting partnered up with people, whether it's to buy those franchises. We're hearing 45% is what the XFL is willing to sell. It doesn't hurt. Essentially, what is the NFL? The NFL is a collection of owners. It is not owned by one person. It's owned by 32 ownerships. And each ownership is not necessarily one person. So I don't see this necessarily any different. But the Major League Football clearly did, because they were selling stock and they didn't even have the money in hand before they tried to roll out four teams and venues and pay for hotels. You know, that's an unfortunate situation. So, I mean, same in some ways, but not really.
Okay. Well, Michael, I want to thank you, man, for coming on the show and giving us your expertise and your knowledge and everything like that to our listeners, those that's online and those that will be listening to this recording. Thank you so much. But before you go, could you please tell everybody where they can find you at and tell everybody about your podcast and everything for the upcoming XFL season?
Absolutely. So I created Let's Talk XFL, and the handle is at Let's Talk XFL with no apostrophe or anything. It's just straight letters. Personally, my media account is at XFL Mike, and we are on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, it's the show is just strictly about XFL, and I may use news from other leagues and whatnot that is related to the XFL and what the XFL could do best, but it's a straight shot. I'm a straight shooter. I just give you the news as it is. I don't give you a bunch of hot takes. I might give you a few opinions, but yeah, I bring on all sorts of guests. I've had a lot of players lately where we're telling their journeys, their stories. And in some cases they are already in the draft pool. In some cases they're still working to get there. So I'm just trying to help anybody in any way I can to get whatever publicity they can and hopefully reach their shot. After all, that's what it's all about. Opportunities for these players to reach and achieve their dreams. And with that, us fans get to watch more football. I mean, what is there not to like about that?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, all right, guys, I want to tell you again, this is Michael Lathrop with the XFL podcast and everything like that. Definitely reach out to him on the latest news, anything related to the XFL. He has a good information on his Twitter and everything like that. So we want to thank you, Michael, for coming on to the show and everything like that. And anytime you want to call in and listen in and break some news, definitely call in and share it with us on Stogies and Beer. And I'm going to let you get up out of here. You have a great day.
All right, you as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. Welcome to Stogies and Beer. This is Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on Stogies and Beer. I'm going to go to some more music real quick before I get my my next person on here, I thank the young man that wanted to do a consultation with me, and I told him we could do it live. I think he's going to be calling back in to the show. He was here, and I want to apologize to him for not recognizing that that was him. He called from a familiar area code. I have a weekly contributor call that calls from the same region that he is calling from, and I thought that was him on the line, but it was actually this young man. I believe his name is Marlon Odin. And Marlon, if you're out there listening, go ahead on the call back into the show. I'll be listening, looking out for your last four numbers. And then once you call back into the show, we'll do this 10-15 minute consultation. And maybe the question that you ask and I answer, you can help somebody else. And I'm going to try to do my best to get you on the line here and help you out. But in the meantime, I'm going to take a quick station break. And we'll go back out into some more music. This is some music by DJ Keep Chronic, producer DJ Keep Chronic, called Check by DJ Keep Chronic.
Welcome to Stogies and Beer. This is Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer radio show. Stogies and Beer is broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBEST. And we are the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback for the both his or her bold opinions about anything sports related. Stogies and Beer can be heard Mondays, most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. Pacific time to 10 a.m. Pacific time. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. Pacific time to 10 a.m. Pacific time. And that'll be on the East Coast time. That'll be what is it, 11 a.m., 12 noon. Again, Stogies and Beer can be heard every Monday through Fridays on the East Coast at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time, most Mondays through Thursdays. Got a lot of stuff going on in the world of sports. You know, right now we got the Little League Baseball championships going on. I think they're just finishing up their regional championships, so everybody, all the kids can go to the Little League World Series and everything like that. I got to look into what my California teams are doing and my Louisiana teams are doing because I'm from both areas. So originally from Louisiana, so I wish them the best, but been living in California for a long time, mainly Southern California, San Diego. So hopefully we got a team that's doing something, or at least in this region doing something in the Little League World Series. Of course, you know, just looking at the monitor today at some of these NFL preseason scores and everything like that. Camp cuts for the NFL should be coming up real soon, say in about another week. I can't wait till tomorrow to see Hard Knocks and see what we got going on Hard Knocks. You know, usually, a lot of hard luck stories out there that make it to NFL camp, but they wind up getting cut after the first preseason game or two, wind up going home, and, you know, then those guys will have to go back down to the leagues, like in the XFL. They're going to be coming back up in 2023. So if those guys is going to get cut in the next week or so, if they don't have an opportunity to go back to another NFL camp and to try to make a practice squad or a 53-man roster, they're going to still be seeking opportunities to get film. So then you're going to have those guys jump down to the USFL, XFL, because the USFL got a lot of guys signed to free agent contracts to go to camp, and I'm quite sure the XFL is going to do just as much, if not more. So, you know, I tell a lot of guys, get with me and my service now if you're having a problem getting an opportunity to play professional football at the pro developmental film league level. You can call me and set up a consultation online to come on the radio show. I used to charge a small fee for a 15-minute consultation, but what I'm doing right now, because I'm testing out my platform and just trying to reach a lot of people at one time, I'm doing consultations on there, at least one 15-minute consultation. Or if I have more lined up, just depending on who all calls in, I'll do your consultation. But the more consultations I can do on air, the more it can help people that when they go back and listen to the recording, or when they listen live, they can get the information that they need as well while I'm helping the person that I'm consulting. So I'm doing online, on-air consultations. At the same time, my company, which is Best, capital B-E-S-T, Best Sports Management in San Diego, California, I help a lot of guys get their opportunity. If you're a street free agent rookie right now that just graduated college and didn't get an opportunity to go to the CFL or to the NFL camp, Deb, I know you didn't get 9 out of 10. Obviously, you didn't get drafted because if you're a street free agent, you're still looking for an opportunity. I have multiple opportunities to help you, but all you have to do is basically reach out to me and DM me online. I can tell you how you can work with me. That's fees, the fees and everything to work with me, whatever packages I got. Everything that I do is affordable.
and everything that I have, I give my athletes, the clients that I manage, the opportunity to make their money back within the season. There's most of the people that I have managed that paid me anything, they've made their money back, definitely doubled it, tripled it, and sometimes quadrupled it, depending on how long they played. One $100 opportunity can pull you in a season $2,000. You understand what I'm saying? So if you double $100, that's $200. If you triple $100, that's what? $400, $300 or $400, however you want to look at it. But it's like you can make 2 to 3 times your money back, 2, 3, 4 times your money back, depending on what level you land at. I've had guys that started in the indoor football league and done every league, indoor football league, National Arena League, AAF, Arena One contracts, CFL camp contract, moving on up to the XFL 53-man roster. That's only one athlete that did all that. So, you know, if you want to verify, you can reach out to him on Twitter. He's that's Josh Jenkins, defensive back for the National Arena League Orlando Predators. Josh Jenkins' Twitter handle is going to be @KillerWhale on Twitter. You ask him any testimonials about working with me as a client under management, me being his manager. I've tried to do. He's done a lot on his own, but I've also tried to be right there with him and give him good advice on opportunities that he should be signing up for and taking. And we've worked together, you know, for a good minute now, about 4 years now, going on 4 years. And he just has that talent to where he could get to all those different levels and do very well. So we're just hoping that he get an opportunity for this upcoming XFL draft pool or get a camp invite as a free agent, and then get some film to move on to the NFL, get an NFL workout. That's what we're hoping for. But, again, if you want to reach out to me, I am Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Today we had Mark Lathrop from the XFL podcast. He was on the show today and everything like that, sharing some knowledge about the new XFL having a breach of security issue where they were basically, well, some agencies are making their clients fictitious XFL draft pool invitations, I guess, to show that they can get them to that level, but it's not real. They're basically making XFL draft pool invitation letters fraudulently, because maybe they have their clients paying for a service and then making the clients feel like they're in a legit system because, oh, okay, he already got me a draft pool invite. Well, you know, that's crazy. And you're gonna crush some of these kids' dreams, some of these young men's dreams, you know, whether they were deserving of the opportunity to go onto the XFL draft board or not. You're gonna crush a kid's dream because they're thinking that they were eligible to go or they were good enough to be selected off the draft board, and it's just their agents have made up these fictitious and fraudulent letters of invitation to the draft pool, and that's just terrible. You know, business doesn't have to be a scam. One thing about it, I can boast one thing about my company. No one can ever sit back and say that I scammed anybody out of money. No one can ever say that I'm no one can get on here and say that I did anything fraudulent, anything untrustworthy in this business. So, you know, when you deal with me, it has to be light versus darkness, and I choose to be the light, not the darkness. I choose to be the light to expose the darkness. I choose to be the light. And anytime you try to choose on the right side of things, on the light side of things, you know, you usually come out pretty good. My reputation means a whole lot to me, so those are the type of things that I don't do, because karma is something else. You start doing crazy stuff to people, and then guess what? Don't be upset when it happens to you. So with that being said, I'm going to play some more music, and we're going to go ahead and close out the show. Again, this is Ramiro Ferrand, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. We're going to go off into some music mix with my man, owner, CEO, president of Team Mash and Sound Design. His name is Keith Clizart, Platinum Producer Keith Clizart. He's owner of Team Mass and Sound Design. You can find him on Twitter at Clizark1, at C-L-I-Z-A-R-K, at Clizark1 on Twitter. Or you can go to his website, Google up Team Mass and Sound Design. You can find him out there if you need hot beats, if you need production, if you need advice on how to get your music out there in distribution. He does all that. He has his company, Office Major Label Style Distribution through his company. I think he's with InGrooves, Universal InGrooves or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but you can get with him getting more information about that. But he can help you get your music out. He's been successful in helping multiple guys get their music out there in distribution. So definitely call him. But we're going to go off into some of his beats that he provided. I got some new stuff from him, too, that I haven't uploaded yet. And I'm going to try to upload that this week, depending on my time. But let's go off into some music. Aftermath by Clizark. Hello again. This is Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. The Stogies and Beer Radio Show is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback for the come on the show and boast his or her bold opinion about anything sports-related. That could be camel racing, dog racing, horse racing, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, tennis, golf, boxing, whatever sport you want to call in and talk about. We're welcome to have you on to boast your bold opinion about your sport. If we don't know about it, we can learn about it. If you don't know about it, you can learn about it from us. Today's topic was Minor League Football Fouls Part 2. We want to thank my man Michael Lethra from the XFL Podcast. You can find him on Twitter at the XFL Podcast or at XFL Mike. At XFL Mike, you can find him on the Twitter at XFL Mike. And you can get more information on his official podcast handle and everything like that. But we want to thank Michael Lethra for coming on the show. Michael Lethra, we want to thank him for coming on the show today, shedding some light on XFL bogus draft pool expectations that were created by some fraudulent agencies giving it to their players. I guess, you know, people paying for a service and they want to give them a fake result. That's terrible. So, hopefully it don't affect these young men's career too much, and shame on those agencies that did that. Stogies and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Fridays. I'm sorry, most Mondays through Thursdays. Most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. Pacific time to 10 a.m. Pacific time. Again, Stogies and Beer can be heard live on Blog Talk Radio most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. And, definitely we'll be back tomorrow. And everybody out there, stay safe. Have a great day. And this is Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. Have a great day. Stay safe. Set black. Fade all.